Well, if you're a visitor with us today, we've been doing a study in 1 John. 1 John was one of the apostles, and he wrote, of course, his gospel. And he is writing 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. So we talked about, just as a way of intro, there's a... we call this outline on the back of your bulletin there. Love is the distinguishing mark of a Christian. John in his gospel records in chapter 13 in Jesus' own words that a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And then he adds, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So love is supposed to be one of the distinguishing characteristics of a born-again believer, one who claims to be a Christian. and he says that this is an indisputable way that the world, those that don't know Christ or those around us, will know that we are indeed Christians because we'll be acting like Christ act. And it also, as we were talking about this series of three assurances of knowing him, you have to bear with me. This is also what John is writing today. It's not just to maybe slightly encourage or direct somebody or even rebuke somebody, but he's going to say that this is one of the ways you know that you are in fact been born again of his Spirit, and that is that you have found that you have love for your brothers and sisters. It was a wonderful day, I remember, when I first came to Christ, Christ's love was shed abroad in my heart, and I started to just love to be with the people of God. So he's saying this is one of the ways that a professing Christian can truly know that he's been made alive by Christ when they find themselves actually loving and caring about their brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you know what that's like sometimes before you come to know Christ. You don't even want to hear about Christ, right? Amen. I used to have a friend who had famous last words sticker on his car. Don't bug me about Jesus. You know, that's like parting of ways. And, you know, John says that that's how we know in chapter 3, in Christ's own words, we know that we have passed from death to life. That's a huge statement. We know that we have passed from the darkness into the light, from death to life, because we love our brothers. It just springs up. It springs up, not because we go about to do it, because now Christ in us wants to love those that are part of his own body. So you get that? We got that. It's pretty clear. And this is this theme of this whole section we're going to read from 7 to 11, where he develops this test, this sort of social test. Instead of keeping commandments, which this is one of them that he's going to elaborate on today, that the way we can know that we know, or even someone else who claims to be a Christian, is do they love others? And do they do it on a regular basis? And John is going to say that if someone doesn't do this, they have no right to consider themselves a child of God. So here we go. We're going to read it, starting in verse 7. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. First part, verse 7, When you read that, you right away the question comes in your mind, what does John specifically mean when he refers to an old commandment that you've heard before, but it's become new? What does he mean? Well, to put it plainly, in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, God had given them this commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. And then you remember, if you remember correctly, in the New Testament, John, I read it just a few minutes ago, Jesus gave them, he said, this is a new command, that you love one another. So even though in the sense it's an old commandment, it's a new one because there's new possibilities attached to it. And what are those new possibilities? Or what is the far-reaching implications of this new something went out? Test. Okay, we're back. What in this new command, what is new about it? Well, number one, I put it on your outline in the back there. It's new in the fact of to the extent to which it reached. In other words, in Christ's day, look, love was not new, but at the same time, there were few who would consider love to be that much of an obligation outside of your family or friends. Remember, he would tell the Pharisees, who were the leaders of Israel, he said, no, you know, you guys say, you know, love your love those that love you, and you don't have to love your enemies. But he said, no, you need to love your enemies. So there was a new scope of what he said. And to the Orthodox Jew at that time, the sinner was not looked upon as one to be loved. They thought, well, you know, God is judging them. What they need is to be told that they're sinners, so in a sense they might repent. But Jesus, in radical contrast, extended his love to everyone. Right? We know that. He came to save sinners. He became a friend of sinners. Matter of fact, that's what they leveled against him. He said, don't you know what type of people these are? He says, well, I didn't come to call those that don't need a doctor, but those that do need a doctor. I'm a friend of sinners. And I always say that if he isn't a friend of sinners, he's got no one to be a friend of. Because we're all sinners, okay? So his love extended to everybody. So it's a new command in the way that extends the broadness that it reaches. The second thing is in the lengths that it would go, and I'm not in far as geographical, but when we look at the cross, we see that at the cross, the height, the depth of his love, that he would go to that degree to show us his love, that he would take the sins of the world upon himself and sacrifice his life on the cross, that he take on human form, that he live a perfect life, and he allow himself to be submitted to such things like that. So he went to great lengths. So much so that when he was on the cross, when the weight of the sins of the world were put upon him, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it was because he felt the Father turning from him, because he's holy God looking away from him because the sins of the world were placed upon him. So he went to great lengths to save us. And it in one sense, too, the command to love is in a new degree to which it is realized. Okay, bear with me here. It says, his truth is seen in him and you. Because of his example, we are shown a different way to live, right? I mean, it just, they said, you know, behold how these Christians love one another. And Christians are not to love one another just because out of some selfishness or something, but we are supposed to emulate the love that he had for us, that we would go to great lengths to sacrifice ourselves so that others would know that they're loved. And you know, look, this is difficult. It's much more difficult for people who don't know Christ, I think, although we have the same problem in the church. But nonetheless, because Jesus carried it out, because he did it perfectly, and because he lives in us, it gives us great hope that we can do this too, right? Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me and through me. So if we allow ourselves to get out of the way, which is tough because we have all these thoughts to go through our mind, and they're always, the devil, I would say that there's a devil, and the devil constantly is putting barriers up between our relationships. Certain mannerism and things that we don't like about one another. So there's a constant battle, but the good news is that we can do this because Christ in us didn't let those things bother him. He was able to love all people. His truth is seen in us. His love is seen in us. In verse 8b, we see that Jesus has brought into the world a new order of life. And I was amazed when I read this. It's in 8b. This new difference between light and darkness and this new age, I hate to use the word, but that new age has dawned. This new light, it says in 8b, it says, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. And I was stunned by this verse because I think we think that the darkness is increasing in our world. And it is it not? But positionally, as far as God looks at our world today, he says the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. How do you get your mind around that? This is an incredible incredible statement. But the New Testament teaches that when Jesus came and he died for his sin, he ushered in a whole new era. The darkness of this world before, what did he say in Isaiah? A light has dawned. He is the light of the world. So in one sense, the darkness is passing. You see the dichotomy there? In one sense, we see the darkness all around of us gaining ground. But where the darkness is passing, we're in a much darker world before he came. Think about that. And that true light is shining in us. And it implies that we're all points of light. Not to quote George Bush, but he had a sort of campaign of points of light, but we're all points of light. That when we enter into a situation armed with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, that the darkness will flee. Famous last words, don't bug me about Jesus. But in a more constructive way, the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Incredible statement. For the Christian, we've been already delivered out of this dark and present world. Right? What does the scripture say? We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. One way you can see this in Galatians 1, 3, and 4, listen what he says. This is Paul writing. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of God our Father. We've been delivered. And so I want you to think about this week, that the darkness is passing. Because ultimately he's going to wrap this all up. It's passing. And a new age has dawned. It already is. It is now, but not yet. But the darkness is passing. We're already tasting the powers of the age to come. So, a true Christian, what John is trying to say today, walks in the light. And a true Christian
not only walks in the light, but one of the ways that he expresses that is that he loves his brothers. Verse 9, we see a profession, it's on the back of your bulletin, without love. He basically talks about three conditions of people in the world that reveal whether they live in the light of love or darkness. The first one, he says, is anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. So the first example of as an individual who says, I'm a Christian, and he doesn't want to be around Christians. Right? And I know there's a lot of people who say, well, I don't need to go to church. And I get that to a certain degree. And then I don't get it to another degree because it says, don't forsake the assemblies of yourself. And why wouldn't you want to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Okay, but so he's saying this first person, he claims to be a Christian, but he doesn't walk in love, but instead he hates his brother. Now those are strong words, hate. And it's in the present continual tense, if you want to get into words here. But it's a fixed attitude of somebody. It's not that he loves people less, because we all struggle with this, right? To love certain people and things come up. This is not on anyway, is it? So we have trouble with that. But the word means that they actually despise someone. They detest them when they come around. Did you ever feel that rise up in you? Probably not in you guys. Oh, yeah. I got like knuckles here. And you just don't want to be around some people. And so we deal with it by not loving them. And in a sense, when we don't interact with them, we're spewing out some of this hatred. Because Jesus Christ forgave and restored the relationship. Sometimes we can't restore relationships, but we should at least be engaging our brothers. And this word brother, what does he mean by that? Does he mean just a blood brother? Does it refer to any man? Well, look, it's a sin to despise or hate any individual. Did you know that? That doesn't feel right, does it? It's not right. And why isn't it right? Well, because they're made in the image of God, And we have to always remember that Christ's love extends even to the most wretched of sinners. And that gets tough, too, for us. But we can do it because we have Christ in us, and he did it. But this word here that he's using for brother, most likely in our text today, it's talking about someone who's a fellow Christian. And the word brother means out of the same womb or having the same source of life. And that applies to us as a Christian. That's the source of life that we both have. It comes from God. And so we have this common source of life in Christ. And so we are brothers and sisters in Christ. The second one is a person who loves, and it arises from the fact that they are in the light. They have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the light. And John writes in verse 10, here's what he says. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. It's a picture of walking again. It's one of John's favorite. You know, walking with God, walking with Christ, walking with your brother. He says, whoever loves his brother lives in light, in the light, the true light that's already shining, and nothing in him to make him stumble. Love and hate. You know, John doesn't really leave a lot of gray area. Did you notice that? He's very straightforward. He says there's, in this idea of walking in the light or the darkness, there's no twilight. You're either walking in the light or you're walking in the darkness. And if you hate your brothers and sisters, it reveals that you really are not walking in the light, but that you're still in darkness. And there's nothing to make him stumble. So who's the him? Does that mean the other person? Which could apply. I mean, when we walk in the light and we're loving people in the world, we're not, or our brothers, it could stumble them if we treat them badly, right? Well, I thought they were Christians. What kind of love is that? Does it apply to that? Is that to him? Or is he applying to the individual who's walking? I tend to think it's more that. That when we walk in the light, it's very simple. There's nothing to make us stumble because we have light on our path. Right? We're not walking in the dark. Stumbling and going around. And I put down there that when we hate, this actually compounds and leads to greater darkness. Right? He says in verse 11, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. He tells us three things about unloving people, people who don't love. The first is that they are in the realm of darkness. And that implies that they've never, ever been transferred from the darkness into light. Let me give you a scripture that might express this. Titus 3:3. It says, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Do you remember those times? I mean, some of us have been walking with the Lord for 30 years, and we forget the condition we were in. I mean, it still rears its ugly head, but not to the degree that it used to be. Now, as I say that, because I wrestle with myself as I prepare these sermons, you may quibble over the fact, is this a true description of people without Christ? Because you know that there's a lot of people that do a lot of good things, right? I mean, if you want to be perfectly honest with yourself, you have to say that there's people who know how to love other people in this world, right? I mean, am I right? Okay. But this description of how we used to be being hated and hating one another, you also have to remember what you were like and how the people of the world hide their true selves. Right? Talk about hypocrites. People say they're hypocrites in the church. We should say, well, you're probably a bigger hypocrite than I'll ever be. That's probably not a good way to approach it, but nonetheless. Nonetheless. But, you look at people in the world, you look at their faces closely, and you listen to what they say. This world is full of people who are given to hatefulness. This world is full of people who are given to jealousy. This world is full of people who are selfish. This world is full of people who are greedy. This world is full of people who are envious. This world is full of people who maliciously talk about other people behind their backs and will do whatever they can to get even. These are just the characteristics of fallen, sinful man. And each one of those, can rear its ugly head in any one of us. No amount of dressing it up can even conceal it, right? But thank God we have Christ in us, that we don't have to succumb to that. Okay, but notice that John doesn't stop talking, I'm almost done, about the person in the realm of darkness. Not only do they walk around in darkness, but as a result, they become more blind. I mean, this is a picture of like total darkness, and somebody just stumbling. No light. Total darkness. No night vision goggles. They're just stumbling around in life, going this way, and they hit an obstacle, they go this way, they fall down, they hurt themselves, all that kind of stuff. It's like they have no standard to go by, right? Because they're in the dark. No control over what's in front of them. They can't see what's coming. And their futures are uncertain and unreliable. Now that is the way a lot of people are in life. And it's now a virtue to never really know the truth. Everything's relative. I got two young sons. Graduated from college, and I mean, this is just the way it is now. You know, they just want to have conversations. No one ever wants to say, this is right or this is wrong, because they don't want to appear to be closed-minded. We live in a total relativistic culture now. And I often look at people, and I don't say it in a demeaning way, but they're just lost. No direction, no standard. Because if you don't really want to set up a standard because someone else is going to be upset with you, then you're just always in flux. You're making it up as you go. Don't know where they're going. Like a mole. I read this week. Like a mole that burrows beneath the green grass and the breathtaking landscape. It's his nature to do so because he's both blind both physically and spiritually. He first is in the darkness and then he lives and walks in darkness. Quite an illustration. Like a blind mole. But the good news this morning is that we've come into the light. Not that we don't ever fall into some darkness, right? I mean, we're not going to paint this picture that we're perfect. But we have come into the light by putting our faith in Christ, and our blindness has been removed. We've been transferred out of that kingdom into the kingdom of light. And we have the Word of God, which sheds light. Our sight has been restored. Remember that amazing grace. I was once blind, but now I see. And look at, we say that with such reserve and humility, because we could have got sucked into just about anything. Personally, me anyways. I'm so glad that some cult didn't come around and say, well, I love you, Brother Bob. Just come on over and be, you know, with my group. That I came to know the true light that is shining in the world. May God grant us today as we examine this scripture and say, you know what? I am in the light. Amen. I don't do it perfectly, but I'm walking in the light. This is one of the assurances that I have, that I do love the people of God. I mean, like you said, you hate church. I don't want to go to church. What, the building? No, I want to go be with the people. There was a highlight. It's still the highlight of my whole life. Amen. To be with the people of God. I don't love you people perfectly, but I intend to love you at all times. Because I've been born again of the Spirit of God, and you have, and we're going to keep doing this. And as we do that, the outside world will say, wow, there's something different about us.
Amen.
And we need to say, you know what's different about us is not that we're just the nicest people that you'll ever meet, but that Christ has apprehended us, and that's why we are the way we are. Don't leave out the testimony of giving him the glory. Let's stand and finish with the song.